symbols that we bring. I love to look up at the cross, and it always makes a great impression on my mind whenever there's a large, large cross. It reminds me of whenever our daughter, who's pregnant, was a little girl, and Janice, and she had gone up to the Catholic church in the town that we were living in then for brownie meeting. That was where the brownies were, and not the ones you eat, but the little girl brownies. And they went up to the, instead of in the church basement, they went up to the school the one evening. I don't know if that was their regular place, but when they walked in, there was a huge, almost life-size crucifix hanging in a small hall kind of thing, if I remember correctly. And I remember Janice coming home, and Emily, she said, had walked in and just stopped and was almost taken with a bit of a shock, you know, was taken aback with that view of Christ on the cross like that, in such a large relief image and everything, and how she was so struck by it that it wasn't long after that that she asked for her birthday that she wanted a necklace with she wanted a cross with Jesus on it, and we got her a cross with Jesus on it, and for her birthday. And I know some people really get a fly in their soup over things like that. That's Catholic, blah blah blah, you know, go on and on at length about it. But I thought she saw it quite accurately. It was a cross with Jesus on it, and it was lovely, and a testament to our Savior. So, why am I telling you all that this morning? I don't know. But I was just struck by the cross this morning. Seeking perfection. That's where we should go now. Seeking perfection. Perfect people need not apply, however. Why? Why not perfect people? Well, perhaps a musical selection would best explain our reasoning. Please feel free to join in if you know this tune. If it suits your fancy, bring it on up, Cindy, for us there. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror, 'cause I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be one heck of a man. You can say woman if you want. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. That's why we don't need any perfect people to apply. Perfect people, you see, are often perfect in their own minds, but not much else. And so we're seeking a perfection today. Well, if perfect people need not apply, well, is there any point to seeking perfection? Well, the scripture says that there is. Matthew 5:48, in fact, says that we are to be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So we have an instruction to be perfect. Not like the song. So what in the world is this about? What does it mean to be perfect in these terms? Well, perfect often means mature or complete. And those are relevant to understand this, that we're to be complete, mature. But, you know, if we plug those into the verse, it doesn't really clear it all up, does it? It doesn't really suddenly make it understandable. Be mature as your heavenly Father is mature. I said it in the fancy way, you know. Be mature as your heavenly Father is mature. It doesn't really quite make it click, does it? Or be complete as your heavenly Father is complete. Maybe, kind of. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Maybe if we put it in some more, you know, down home, or, you know, slang, maybe we'd understand it. I remember seeing a movie that was titled She's All That. So how about if we say, be all that as your heavenly Father is all that? I think that gets closer, maybe. That kind of rings. How about if we even try to be more hip, which is tough when you're 50, your hips go out of joint. But how about we say, rock it out as your heavenly Father rocks it out? Well, I think that may get really close to it, don't you think? Rock it out as your heavenly Father. Well, I don't know that those really get it, do they? Do we really suddenly understand what it's all about to say that we are to be perfect as our heavenly Father is perfect? I don't think it quite gets us there. No. If we really want to understand, in fact, we really need to step back and look at the context. Look at the verses that lead up to this. Otherwise, we're just going to stand here all day coming up with things out of our own head. And that could lead us into some really strange places because our heads are all over the place sometimes. I know mine is. Like that little dog in Up. Squirrel! You know, you got to watch the movie. But here is the context. It says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. By the way, this is Jesus speaking. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now that amplifies this. That really gives us some context to be able to consider what does it really mean to talk about being perfect as our heavenly Father is perfect? Being good to both the people who are your friends and family and to even your enemies, even going so far as to pray for them. As God makes the sun shine on the good, the bad, and the ugly, so we are to shine even so. And if we're only loving the people that love us, whoopee, what does that mean more than pagans, heathens, godless people, we do that very readily, right? So be perfect, it says. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. In one word, what does it mean? What is this perfection of God that we seek? One word, what would you say that it is? Love. I heard you. There was a still small voice that I heard in the crowd. Love. That's the word. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect has to do with love. Love that gets this broad application, this wild expression. Not only the people that love you, not only the people that you like, not only to your friends and family, but to love even your enemies and the weirdos around you in this world. Love like God loves is what it's coming down to. Love with this kind of perfect love that God loves with. In fact, Jesus emphasized to us that there were two great commandments, two biggies that we were to keep up with that would sum up every other commandment in all of the scripture. What are those two commands about? There, you're starting to catch on. Love. Well, number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And number two, love your neighbor as yourself. Love. We're meant to love. And so that Jesus even gives us those commands. In the old days, John Wesley, an early Methodist, They used to talk about going on to perfection. We don't use that phrase real commonly today. It's not like one of our watchwords that we walk up to each other with and say, are you going on to perfection? Every year, though, at conference, I hear that little phrase pop up again whenever they're interviewing, welcoming people who are going to be accepted as either as candidates for ministry or ordinands that are going to be ordained for ministry. And that's one of the questions that was asked from those early days. And so our bishop will usually repeat those questions. And one of them then is, are you going on to perfection? Well, those early Methodists and John Wesley, they emphasized this in relation to being filled with the Spirit. That, in fact, they would use this expression that it was that being filled with the Spirit would cause a believer's heart to be made perfect in love. Going on to perfection was about being made perfect in love. The first time I ever encountered anyone in the modern era using that kind of expression was when I was on a mission trip years ago at the World Gospel Mission Group, and they're part of the holiness kind of grouping or movement. Back in the 1800s, the early part of this century, there was a movement called the Holiness Movement. And in fact, the Pentecostal movement, many would say, grew out of the Holiness Movement. But the Holiness Movement emphasized the infilling of the Holy Spirit would sanctify the heart, which, going back to those earlier terms, was to say that we would be made perfect in love. And on this mission trip, it was the first time I really was around holiness people who were talking about this. We're talking about your heart being made perfect in love and God moving you in a way that you would no longer be moved to sin. That was a little radical almost, it seemed to me. That, oh my goodness, you mean you don't sin? No, you don't sin anymore. Well, what they meant was that there was no longer a willful desire to be disobedient to God. And that's kind of hard to swallow unless you see someone who seems to live like that. And then it's like, maybe it is possible that God could work so mightily in our hearts. But these folks, particularly, in fact, while we were there as a work team, there was a work team from England, a group of Methodists from England that were there as a work team, and they brought this expression with them, this very strong sense of the heart being made perfect in love by this infilling of God's Spirit in that soul. Beautiful expression. Very powerful. This emphasis that the Spirit of God would be so moving to our lives that we could reflect the love of Jesus and reflect this love in our lives. That we could, in fact, be responding to those two great commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. That doesn't come about by nature, by our natural state, but by a working of the Holy Spirit in us that enlivens our soul to live a life of love and trust, faith that would allow us to ultimately uncover what it means to love God so completely that we could say it's with our whole heart and soul and mind and strength, and then to love our neighbor as ourself. What an incredible moving of God to be able to love in such a way. Still, it was kind of hard to understand. There's another scripture, in fact, that brings another expression to light in this, that in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come. Instead of talking about the Spirit of God coming in you, it talks about us being in Christ. To be in Christ. And that's an expression that's used many, many places in the New Testament. To be in Christ. You're a new creation in Christ. Romans 8 says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ. Filled with God's Spirit. God's Spirit in you. What does all of this really mean? Do we really understand? How can the Spirit of God in you make your heart perfect in love? How do we understand what it means that we are to be in Christ? Do we really have a handle on that? to have God's Spirit in you transforming your life, to have your life in Christ? What does that mean for us? Well, in Christ is about being in relationship with Christ. And the Spirit of God in you allows you to absorb. I really wrestled over what word to in fact put in there. I started off with kind of bland words like receive the influence of Christ, accept the influence of Christ. That wasn't good enough. That didn't really get anywhere near. Absorb is what I finally came down to. I actually thought about saying ingest, but that I thought would be too confusing. How am I going to eat the influence of Jesus? But absorb, that kind of gets it across. To absorb. Still, I wrestle with this. But the Lord gave me some sense of understanding about this, an image that helped me to really get a handle on this week. In our life, we live many different roles, don't we? Each of us will have a lot of different roles that we live, depending on the situation we're in, the people we're with, the relationship that we're living out with those people, right? Well, we kind of live different roles in many situations. In fact, for some of us, those roles are quite different. I've learned over the years doing some drama and some acting sort of things, it's interesting how you can kind of take on different kind of personas. And here you can be this person, and there you can be a person who's almost the opposite, of that one. And some of us live our lives like that, where here we're one kind of person and there another kind of person altogether. I don't think that's a really good way to live. I think it actually gets us kind of twisted up sometimes when we live like that. But we do live kind of in different roles depending on the relationship we're in. And it affects how we understand and how we are able to live out and express love in our lives. Whenever you come into this world, there are some people who come into this world with a great sense of innocence and ability to receive and to give forth love. And for some people, sadly, that gets crushed in them, and it's a great work of grace to recover that. For others, it may come along in life in kind of a normal way, growing up with, sort of a casual way of coming along in life. It's always there, so you almost take it for granted and don't really respond to it as the great wonder that it really is. But as we grow, we often encounter different relationships then that affect us and that actually allow us to really uncover in great measure what love really means for our life. In greater and greater meaning. When you make a friendship with someone where they become your true friend, that relationship can be powerful, can't it? Dramatic, in fact, to have a true friend in your life. Usually we don't have a lot of those. Some of us may still be looking for our first one. It's challenging at times to find that sense of truth. But it changes you whenever you have a true friend. Trust is there. Love opens up. Your guard is down. It lets your life open up and be expressive and hopefully that you become far less selfish about that in that relationship and become actually very focused on that other person, caring about them. That's when it becomes really dramatic, when we have that kind of true friend. In my life, I know that going through life in different relationships, getting married didn't really teach me about unconditional love, not right off the bat. I didn't marry my wife in unconditional love. I've talked about my wife so much this month, she's tired of it. But Jan, I did not know about unconditional love. No, that was not why I married my wife. No, I married her because she was hot. And she made me happy to be around her, and I married her because it made me feel good to be with her. I married her because I thought we had a future together. I married her because of a lot of reasons. It wasn't unconditional. You know, my parents didn't arrange the marriage, and we just showed up on the day and said, okay, here we are. I guess I'll go ahead and love you, lady. No, it wasn't like that. Married her because of a lot of things. As you go down the road, you better find some of that unconditional, or you're going to be in big trouble. Big trouble. But you know what? Whenever our kids came along, that was when I began to, I think, really discover something about the kind of love that God has for us. Really hit home with me. There are a lot of people that are dramatically changed by that role coming into their lives. I was listening to an actress the other day, and she had, I can't remember her name, I forgot to look it up, but she was kind of a wild child growing up. And, you know, not in any time previous did you look at her and say, boy, she's the motherly type. No! But listening to her in this interview, obviously something had happened. She had been zapped, you know, and this relationship that had occurred in her life with this new life and a child that was dependent on her had done something to her, right? And suddenly there's this unbelievable sense of giving and loving and all of those kind of things that come forth. I'm discovering now as I get on to this whole grandpa thing that I'm now beginning to get obnoxious. I know, but just bear with me. It's only one more time you have to hear about this. I'm beginning to feel like, you know, there's some sort of chemical therapy going on. You know, like there's something again happening. I'm having some sort of brain transplant that's hitting again. And it's like, oh my heavens, what's taking over? Something is happening in this relationship that I'm anticipating, I'm so excited about, and I'm looking so forward to giving and doing it. Oh my goodness, all these wonderful things, and my brain is changing. I think that if you did one of those brain scan things, you would see colors that had changed or something. You know what I'm saying? There's something about relationships like this that generate then some effect in us, and there's a role that we carry out in those relationships, and please understand this, that, you know, my parents and my grandparents, I only knew two of my grandparents, but my parents and my grandparents and all of them, they were not necessarily in every way, shape, and form ideal. You know, they didn't necessarily meet the ideal. We all know there's an ideal about parents and about grandparents and everything. And most of us don't ever really fulfill those completely in our lives or have anyone that perfectly fulfills those. But we understand, we know it's there because when we see it, we know it. And when we don't see it, we know that too. That ideal, though, when we get even a taste of it, even a glimpse of it, that wonder of that special relationship, that selfless kind of love that's just poured out just because. Not because of this, that, and the other, but just because, just poured out. It's profound, isn't it? And there are some of us, we experience that in different relationships in our life, that we live that in that context, in that relationship. Wow! Loving, giving, selfless. When we're in that relationship, oh man, there's something about you that's wonderful. Just wonderful. But like I said, some of us live like we play different characters in our life. Well, we're in that relationship, in that role, there's something special about you. You are a BFF, a best friend forever. You are that incredible mom or dad. You are that amazing pop-up and grandma and all that kind of thing. You are that whatever in that relationship. But then, off to work you go. And there are some people, they're pop-ups everywhere. They're granddads everywhere they go. They're like these wondrous teddy bears. But there are other people, we know, in that relationship, when you are in that
You are wondrous.
But then, off to work. And all of a sudden, you are a different character in this play. All that love, kindness, all the sweetness of your soul, it's gone. Right? Because now you're in that relationship, in that mode in your life. And you fill up with all kinds of other drives and forces.
Some of us, it's not just there, but we're no longer in that, and now we go off, and here we are now engaged in fulfilling our own lusts and pleasures over here on the side. When we're there, none of that matters. Everything is given. But over here, when we leave, when we're not in that relationship, now my own indulgence is gone. Isn't that the curious thing that we often see depicted not only in movies, but in real life? We were watching a program yesterday about a man who was a mass murderer. He was a hitman. Not in the movies, in real life. Had killed a whole roster of people as a hitman. But we were talking to his family and how much they loved him, and they would go up and visit him, and his sons grew up visiting him in prison, and now the grandkids were going to get to go and visit granddad in prison, and he is just such a great guy, and they love him so much. He's so wonderful. The bizarro-ness of it, isn't it? The bizarreness of, in that relationship, this wonderful, happy, giving, loving, caring guy, on this side, he's a murderer. In Christ. In Christ. Filled up, not with your own plan, not with your own desire, not with your own purposes, not with your own passions and lusts and desires. In Christ, filled with His Spirit. In Christ, you can be absolutely perfect in love. You can live out love that comes forth with righteousness, purity, holiness, the beauty of it in Christ. So natural to be giving yourself away in love and trust and hope and blessing, pouring your life out in Christ. Oh, but then you go to work and you're something else. You walk out the door of the church and it's no longer there. You go to that place where suddenly your temptation comes to the surface, and now Jesus is no longer the in thing in your life. You are into that. And it now dominates. It now has the power over your life. It now directs your actions. And you're not hanging on there anymore. Get a picture of it? What that's like in our lives? To be in Christ is not a religious state. It's not a ritual place. It's to be in that relationship with Jesus. In Christ is in this relationship with Jesus where the Spirit of God can in fact fill us, and we begin to just there absorb this influence of Christ. It begins to be, in fact, who we are. We begin to live it. It flows forth in us. It is natural to us, in fact, to be in this supernatural place where Jesus is in us. And the outcome is love. Perfect love. Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And it's possible there in Christ. That when you act in Christ, perfect love comes out. But it's when we're not living in Christ that we have the problem. When we're not in Christ, when we're not living in Christ, that we instead take these little side steps into another place where other relationships now dominate us, and no longer are we living it in Christ with the Spirit of God filling us. No, now you're filled with yourself. Now you're filled with your own plans. Now you're filled with your own desires. Now you're filled with the dominance of other people pushing you to be what they desire, not what Christ desires.
not in Christ. No, that's not living in Christ. Now you're full of it, but it's not the Holy Spirit anymore. Understand that diversity? And so that what we as Christians are about is to want to be able to live in Christ, wherever that context is. That relationship with Christ continues to be the one that fills us, that is the dominant force, that is the controlling element of our lives. That we could be in Christ at work, at home, in church, in the store, at the restaurant, in dealing with our friends and dealing with our enemies. In Christ we can remain. In Christ we can there be filled with His Spirit and they absorb His influence so that we can flow in the power of Jesus and express what that love of Jesus would bring forth in us. That grace, in fact, becomes then the rule of our life. The challenge is that we would not be granddad here and a monster over there, but that we would be in Christ. In Christ. And not depart from that. So that we are in need of that relationship where Christ always is the one that we turn to in making our decisions and in setting our priorities. It's so vital that where things are in conflict with the will of God and His purpose and His purity and holiness in our lives, that those things be set aside, cast away, repentance, cast them off, that we continue to lay aside all those things that would entangle and keep us from running that race in Christ. That's the way that we continue to grow and develop in obedience and faithfulness and love and in trust that allows us to remain in Christ, filled with His Holy Spirit, not just as an event or an experience in our life, but as the constancy of our living in Christ. Sounds cool, doesn't it? Thanks for encouraging me. I think it sounds absolutely dramatically cool to rock it out the way that our Heavenly Father rocks it out, to be all that in Christ. That's God's purpose and will for you. Not just for Mother Teresa's of the world, not just for the Billy Graham's of the world, not just for the great saints of God. No, you are the great saints of God in Christ. In Christ. Is there anything keeping you from being in Christ 24/7? Are you missing decisions in your life that you're holding some decisions that you don't have to bother God with? Are there wills and desires in you that you really haven't sifted out? That you're really allowing your own aims, your own purposes, your own cravings be the leading edge of your life, not seeking and gaining a hunger for the Lord that really leads and shapes who you are and how you live? Anything keeping you from living in Christ? Anything that you know that you need to plunge further in to say, I want to be in over my head, not just up to my ankles or my waist, I want to be in over my head in Christ. Full up for the Spirit. Anything keeping you back? Let's lay it aside. Let's drop it. Let's put it behind us and go forward then in Him. Will you join me in prayer this morning? Oh, dear God, thank You that we can be in Christ. This is how Your righteousness, Lord, begins to clothe us. Not just in figurative terms, not just in kind of technical terms, but Lord, in a practical reality, Your righteousness, birthed out of a love, out of a nature that is in You that's not natural to us. Oh Lord, I want to pray that we could be in Christ, filled with Your Holy Spirit, perfect in love. That we would be perfect even as our Heavenly Father is perfect. To love one another as Jesus loved us. To remain in Christ, to let His word remain in us. Oh God, that we could
prove out to be your disciples, fruitful in what we do. Pray, Lord, that if there's anything keeping us from being in Christ in every sphere of our life, Lord, identify that to us. Show us if we live in Christ in that relationship and in that context, but not there, not with that person, not over there, not when that comes up, not when those opportunities occur. Mm-mm, we're not in Christ. We're off to do our own thing. Please, Lord, just reveal it. Just show it to us and bring us into that perfect place where we can trust and love and give to you as you've given to us to be perfect, even as our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. If God's witnessing to your heart, please, by all means, as we worship in this closing, come, get with God. Speak your heart with the Lord this morning. Let's pray.